Well, good morning. So how many of us are glad to be here this morning? Oh, I thought that question was interesting in children's class. How do we find it as parents? How do we find it as brothers and sisters? As we gather together, are we glad to be here? And we get to go to church. Praise the Lord, it's a privilege. And we have a lot to look forward to. See a living God doing things in the lives of his people. We can thank him for that. We serve a living God. Well, why don't we rise a minute here and we'll pray together. I'll pray out loud, but you can pray for me quietly if you would. I had a very full week and I'd like for my thoughts to kind of zero in this morning. So sometimes it takes a little bit extra effort to do that. Our minds can be loose sometimes. So you pray for me if you could, but I'll pray. Lord, we come before you this morning. Lord, we lift our hearts to you. Lord, you're a living God, and we come this morning, living souls that are desiring to be fed from you and ministered by the word of the truth, by your word. And Lord, your word is a living word. You're a living God, and we ask you'd come and speak to us this morning. Pray that you could take my lips and my mind, and that you could take your word and bring it forth in a clear way this morning as I speak, that our time here could be a blessing. Lord, I ask that you could come down and move amongst us and stir us up. Lord, that we could set the cares of this week behind us. We could take this day of rest and focus upon you and consider your word. And Lord, may you just move in our hearts, stir us up. Lord, we just desire to be ministered to by your grace this morning. So I pray for your help, Lord. Pray for those this morning that did not make it this morning for different various reasons, whether sickness or other things going on, cares of this life. Lord, with think of funerals tomorrow. And Lord, there's much going on, and we feel weak, Lord. We feel sometimes overloaded and cares upon us. Lord, wherever we find ourselves at this morning, I pray, O God, that you'd minister your grace to us and give us your strength. Lord, it says in your word, if any need, let him ask. And you desire to give to all men liberally. And so we thank you for that this morning and just desire a liberal amount of grace this morning to work in our hearts. Lord, we pray your blessing now in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Well, my mind is on Ephesians 6 this morning. If you want to turn there, Ephesians chapter 6. I have preached a couple different messages. And one was on husbands, one was on wives, and this morning my heart has turned towards the young people. So it's part three. You know, we sometimes, as we look at weddings, yesterday again was another wedding, and two hearts coming together, that's a blessing. It really is. And, you know, young people, you've got a lot to look forward to. If God has that for you in marriage, you have a lot to look forward to. If he has it for you single, you have a lot to look forward to. Whatever it is, God knows. And my heart this morning is that as young people, that we could get a vision. And an unction from above that the time that we spend in our youth could be something that you could look back on and you could see that it was a foundation for what God wants to do with your life. If you don't have that focus, you're going to look back and you're going to know, because of the cares of this life, that you had no foundation, and it won't wonder you why you ended up where you did. But this morning we have opportunity. We have God's word. We have opportunity to listen and think and pray and allow God to search our hearts. And my heart this morning is that we do that and not just sit here with our minds somewhere else. But put your heart into the word this morning. I just have a desire to just come alongside you, as it were, and kind of put my arm around you and say, brother, sister, think on these things. Because your time is short. One day you're going to have some gray hair. It doesn't take long. And each step you take makes a difference on where the outcome comes out at. And so, in Ephesians 6, I was looking there and pondering on some of these verses. I'm going to read to verse 9 this morning. It says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart as unto Christ. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. I guess this morning I'm going to write the title up here. I'm just going to write aspirations. For our youth. It's a short time period of our lives that has so much to do with where we land up at. It's a narrow window. If you look in the terms of the Bible, Paul writes to Timothy, sometime between the ages of 14 and 30, we go through youth. Sometime in there, if you look at scriptural understanding, sometime in that window, you go through that. I don't know, there's some people that are 30 years old, and I look at them and they remind me of a 14-year-old. Have you ever met somebody like that? There's some people that live that way. And there's some people, if you look at them and they're 13, 14 years old, and you wonder if they're in their late teens or towards 20. What makes that difference? Many times it's your attitude of respect. It's your perception of wisdom. It's the things that light you up, the things that you find humor in, the things that people can observe that you find interesting, things that you're doing, places you go, people you meet, how you handle yourself. Jesus died at around 33, 34 years old. He was young. But he lived such a life, we have a lot we can look to. And I believe as young people, you all have opportunity to do the same. Where do you find yourself at? Do you find yourself at a place where you want to be? Or do you look at your life and think, you know, I ought to consider my example to those around me. I ought to consider the things that interest me, the things that I find humorous, the things I find myself doing. It's good questions to ask. My heart this morning is just kind of to stretch our minds upward and onward, because our time is short and we have an impact on those around us. We look here at verse 1 and 2. I guess my mind right now is on verse 4, so we're going to jump to verse 4, okay? And then we'll go back. Just this past week, we were having some family time. And we were spending some time looking back over some of the things our family's been through, things that we've worked through as a family. And there was some time spent with one of my children. As we look back, I realized that things I said as a father, words I spoke, decisions I made, had an impact on my one child in a very deep way, on their heart, and provoked them to frustration and things they had to sort through that was beyond what I had realized. And as we talked about that, we had some precious time together sorting through this thing and clearing this up, because I failed as a dad and I provoked my child, discouraged my child, and I wasn't the example that I should have been. And as we talked about this thing, and I was thinking about the message Sunday, I thought, you know, this is a good opportunity to encourage the fathers to be very aware of the eyes of your child, the candle of their heart. Be very aware if the candle is shining, or if there's discouragement or confusion in their heart. If we look back at our youth, I think all of us can probably identify with some experiences that affected us in a profound way. Some for the good, and some we just have to learn from or put behind us and forgive. That's part of life. I guess we can't do much about that because we're human. We make mistakes. And my prayer this morning is that fathers, listen and open your hearts to your children and allow them to share and talk. If you sense that there's a wall there, or you sense that you're not connecting, fathers, it's our opportunity and our responsibility to not walk past that thing and just let it go. We do well. In fact, we make time. We redeem time when we take opportunity to make those things right and to clear it up. Maybe as mothers, you find yourself in the same place. But the things that we do affect our children deep. Sometimes with personalities, it can be a whole lot deeper than we realize. And young people, we go back to verse 1 and 2. It says, children, obey your parents in the Lord if they walk perfectly and make no mistakes. Verse 2, no? How does that say? It says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right, you know? It's God's heart that the children can obey the parents. As you grow up, that changes in honor begins to take place. The obedience is still a concept there, but that graduates on into respect and honor and consideration of their request, and to walk in a way of honor and respect, or that you graduate from that childlike obedience to a relationship of honor and respect, where that you're relating together and the people can see that those children and those young people honor and respect their parents, and they can see that it's working. Or they can see when the child is honoring out of a heart to do what's right in spite of their parents. Maybe a mistake is made. Young people, just if you can get a vision of praying and a burden for being in God's will and serving and honoring, you can be Christ in your home. You can help your parents through some of the mistakes that they make. Because you have the opportunity to watch and learn, and maybe you don't have to make those same mistakes. And you can help that the grace of God can come into the home in a richer, more powerful, strengthening way by your attitude, by your response to their request. Sometimes that's real easy to do, and sometimes it is not. And what's interesting about these two first verses is it's not conditional. It's just given as a command. And if you look in the Exodus 20, Deuteronomy 5, different other places, it speaks about the peace and the glory of God and long life that comes to a young person that comes to the place of honoring their parents and respecting them and blessing them and having that heart. God comes down and he says, amen. I can bless this man, this girl, this woman for what they're doing because they have their heart in the right place. I'm going to come and I'm going to move. Amen. And he does that. The Bible, and let's turn to Isaiah 57 a minute. There's some verses I've been pondering on here lately. Isaiah 57, verse 15. Says, for thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place with him also, that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. For I will not contend forever, neither will I be always angry or wroth, for the spirit should fail before me and the souls which I have made. And you can turn back to Ephesians 6 again. But as we look at these verses here, this thing about walking in humility and brokenness is something that God God does. He makes his rounds. I don't know how many of you have seen the International Space Station. As you watch the thing go across the sky, if you watch your phone, the thing comes up pretty regular, once, twice a week, depending. I don't know. I lose track. But the thing comes. You can see it come and go. Well, God inhabits all of eternity. He's not stuck to the space station. He's just there. And he's watching, and he's looking, and he's zoning in with his Google Map feature, and he says, there's Josh Hostetler. He has a humble heart. He's teaching his children so. All right, I want two angels on this one. Gone, no? And I need about 2 tons of grace today, fellas. Come loaded. I got a big project for him today, and it's going to take a lot. You know? I'm being a little bit graphic, maybe, but do you think God's limited? Do you think he has a command center and things happen? You can be sure he does. Because I don't think Josh Hostetler is the only humble and contrite one here this morning. And God, who inhabits eternity, looks down and he sees these young people and he sees where they're having to bear a yoke because the choices their dad made was not the easiest for them to handle. And he's got extra grace if you come to him and seek him where you're at in the middle of those things, and he can do it for you. He can take your load and he can lift you up. He has a plan for you. And God is right on time. You can trust him for that. We could spend some time and look at Daniel and we could think God was too late. As Daniel was going into the hot place, God was there on time. He came back out and you didn't smell a thing on burnt anything. And it looked like that one was too late, right? It really did. It did not look good. But Daniel, with his heart after God, found God to be right on time. The brother's talking about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And I am too. I'm getting my stories maybe a little mixed, but I think all four of them found themselves falling somewhere at a time in their ministry, did they not? Into the lions or into the fiery furnace? Let's keep our story straight. Appreciate that, brother. The thing of it is, in the concepts that we are thinking, in the places that we are walking, God has sufficient grace to meet us where we're at. Amen? We serve a living God who inhabits eternity, and he's loaded. He's unlimited. And I want to encourage you young people, our God is that real, and he'll meet you right where you're at. Get connected. You know, in the phone world, they call it like it. You know, just like it. Love it. Connect with him. That's terminology that was from the beginning. Face to face. When God came down and he found Adam needing a few things, God connected with him and helped him with that need. And God knows your hearts, young people. He knows when the yoke is heavy and it's really hard to carry, or when it's enjoyable and it's a blessing. And we have days like yesterday when there's a marriage taking place. God has all of those things in his scope of time for each one of you. It's very important in Ephesians 6, verse 1 and 2, that we get a hold of this, that our hearts are at a right place where we're honoring and respecting our father and mother, and children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. It's very good. If there's one thing that you can do for your parents, is to honor them and respect them. If you want to warm the hearts of your parents, just do that. It'll touch them. And your life will be blessed. They're not perfect. The Bible really doesn't go into what to do about that. It just gives the principle of honor and respect. Because God will take care of everything else. And it goes on here, and somehow servants get mixed in here, so I decided to just take this word servants and just use it right in the context I'm bringing it out at here this morning. Young people, you can be servants. You can find yourself in a place of service, having a single heart, doing what you're doing because you love it. Having a single mind. As people watch you at work or at play at home, they can see that you have a single heart and you're doing what you're doing for God, and you're doing it as unto the Lord with a burden and a zeal that the blessing of God can come down on and rest upon. Having a young people that have a heart to work, have a heart to serve, have a heart to bless, have a heart to honor, have a heart to respect. There's a shortage of those around. Everybody's looking for them. And God is too. He's looking down and he's got a lot of projects in mind. And he needs some good building material. He wants some lively stones to build his temple with. And each one of us can get on that track and be found useful in the call of God like that. There's a lot to do, and God wants lively stones. He doesn't want to just see, like in verse 6, it says, people that are doing the eye service as men pleasers, but servants of Christ doing the will of God from the heart, being just sanctified, just washed. Maybe you were used wrong. Maybe you were misunderstood. Maybe things didn't go your way. There's not a verse 2b or verse 3 to discuss about that. It just says honor and respect your parents. I just want to encourage you that way. I've had some things in my life as I look back that were not easy. I had some things to sort through. At one point, I had to move away from home after I got married. My parents and my parents' paths went different directions. The day came when that happened, and there came a separation there in my course and their course. For spiritual reasons, we weren't heading in somewhat the same direction, and some changes had to be made. It was a very difficult time at one point. I did what I did by faith, and I honored God, and I honored my parents, but my choices were different than theirs. And it was about 15 years later, till our hearts came together on some of the same principles, and God brought our paths back across each other again. And I had opportunity to serve in some of the harder ways I could have done as I look back at things the way they went. Some of you know we got the opportunity to take care of my dad for a number of years. So those things we went through were some of the hardest things I've ever done in my life. Why is it that way? I can't help some of the choices they made. But young people, if you can get a burden for the call of God in your life, you don't know what lays ahead. Excuse me. You don't know what lays ahead, but it's a good path, and it's a good walk, and it'll work, a deeper work in your heart, day by day, but it helps oh so much if you walk in truth and obedience now. God is God. I had no idea 15 years later the thing would turn the way it did, and I'd have the opportunity to do what I did and show the love of Christ in such a humbling way as I did. And God will take you back to that place of just learning to just simply walk in humble obedience before God and some of the simple things in life. God is not one that's hard to understand with difficult science books before him. He uses very basic technology. And a lot of it happens right here. On our knees and doing some of the most simple things you can do for a person when they can't help themselves. That's what I went through for my dad, and I'm glad we did that. And as I did that, there was times I was everywhere but on my knees in my heart, but God had me on my knees. Because I had to learn more about this walk of humility and grace. And what my heart is this morning is that, young people, life is so short. Just learn these things. I can't believe where that clock is going. I just got started. Let's turn to John chapter 12. I want to spend a little time here in John chapter 12 in verse 23. I was telling you a little bit of my story. I'd like to spend a little time and look at Jesus' story. In John chapter 12, verse 23, Jesus had lived a lot of his life. It was getting down to the end. In verse 23, it says, "And Jesus answered them, saying, 'The hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, he says, but for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it, and I will glorify it again. The people, therefore, that stood by and heard it, said that it thundered, and others said, an angel spake unto him." You know, we read these verses, and it just sounds real simple. If you look at verse 23 and 24 here, and just think about this, Jesus, knowing what was lying ahead, he knew that the cross was coming. He knew that it was going to be terribly hard. And as you listen to these words, he was willing to keep on moving that direction is laying his agenda down to the place of it costing him his life so the Father could receive the glory and accomplish his plans that he had through his life. Because as Jesus said, that was really the reason that he came. And as I look at that, and I think about my life and my father, the example is a lot the same. You know, sometimes parents will ask us to do some things that are not easy, and maybe some things that we don't understand. If we can just come to a place of honoring them and just simply obeying what's before us and trust the outcome to God, we can find God moving in many ways in these things and taking care of all those unknowns that we don't understand. I just look at Christ's heart, and I've been pondering on his life this last while, just thinking about relationships and respect and how that this thing works and what God's looking for. And as I watch the life of Christ, I just see him laying himself down and his agenda down. And I come to November's coming up here, number four, and my brothers call me and say, hey, boy, you better vote this year. You better vote this year. And, you know, Lord, you know what he's saying. Just keep on working. I can't maybe solve this problem. I just listen on him, you know. Only can say so much, huh? But I'm here to testify that the walk of God in Christ Jesus is not about politics. And if Jesus wanted to get involved in politics, we would have a different New Testament today. Because if anybody was authorized and capable of being king, he was number one. And what did he do? He turned it all away, committed his life to his Father, and died on the cross. That was his concept of obedience. You don't find that in politics. Jesus turned his heart away from position. He turned away from a proud stand. One of those I told you so attitudes. He just took the humble road and closed the door. He just closed the door on opportunities that he could have taken to sort of what you call establish his position. And you know, young people, I just want to encourage you, do like Jesus did. Turn the door on those independents, stubborn, strong, rebellious streaks that can just come because I don't agree with him. Take a different attitude than that. Just close the door on that. Tell the devil to just get behind you and just walk in humility and brokenness. Just honor your parents. Don't go to try to establish a position and stir up the children or other friends. Just take the humble approach. As I look at this and I look at all the glory that Satan would have loved to say that he could offer and really didn't have any to give, but he sure made it look pretty a few times to try to whet his appetite towards taking a position. He just said, no, get thee behind me. Way on behind me, I'm walking in a different path. And God came down and he said, I have glorified my name and I'll do it again. In a sense, the heaven shook because God spoke. I guarantee it would have been different if Christ would have tried to get a hold of something and get his own position secured. You know? And so there's something about this. Young people, if you can turn your heart upward, onward towards God, towards the Father, and just take that road. God will move. And the voice from heaven say, I have glorified my name and I'll glorify it again. And the people all around heard it. And it just, such was the life of Christ. And he, for this purpose I have come, he said. And we just say hallelujah to see that. It's in the Old Testament, there was a time when the people had a different in Numbers 33, it talked about, in Numbers 21, it talked about there was a time and place when the people of God were tired, and the way that they were walking was not pleasant, and they started murmuring, and rumblings were going on, and God allowed serpents to start coming and biting the people, and they were dying, And God told Moses, build you a brass serpent, put it on a pole high enough that people looking a ways away can see it. So when they look to that serpent, they can be healed from the bites. In that day, too, there's a symbolism there of people looking up to a Savior. In the New Testament, we have the same thing. But as those people found themselves bitten, and they looked up. They could feel the healing. They weren't there trying to deal with all the problems themselves, they had to look up. And in that, they found healing. God came down. There's some symbolism there in the New Testament of Christ being placed on the cross, and we look to him, and we simply, when we do that, the grace of God comes. Holiness comes. And God glorifies his name. And I don't know, I guess I'm in closing, just looking at some of these thoughts, I just want to encourage you. You know, probably there's maybe a lot of questions that you'd have if we talked about, you know, you say that this morning, you say that, but you don't know my situation. You don't understand my situation, how it's going. You don't understand. Maybe other ones would have questions, what would you do? Those are good questions to ask God in your prayer time. And there's a place and time to get advice if you have questions like that. We have a church fellowship, and there's opportunity we can ask. We can get answers for some of those questions. If you have a father with a humble heart that's willing to let you ask, maybe some other brothers or your minister for advice, thank God for that. Take that opportunity. I never had that opportunity when I grew up there in my youth. When I look at my years from 14 to 21, I think I had about two friends in that time. I didn't know what it was to have 60 youth at church. When I went to church Sunday, the people I connected with were 30 and 50 years old. Those were my friends. I didn't have youthful companions. Sometimes I thought, well, am I? It would be nice. And I don't think it's wrong to have friends. But as I look at being youth, I think sometimes young people with more friends will have more challenges in relating and sorting through those things if they're all your age with about your same experience level. You know, sometimes I think you can end up lacking wisdom on the input side of things and just having things to talk about. And my question sometimes with our young people is, are our conversations edifying and helpful spiritually to help you on this path? If you face cares like what I'm talking about this morning that I had to sort through that are not easy, I encourage you to get double your age friends. If you're 15, go to the 30-year-olds. If you're 25, go look for some 50-year-olds and get a hold of some friends and open your heart to them. And I'm just going to encourage you. I think you're going to find a wealth of wisdom there that may supersede the wisdom of your companions that are of same age. And you might find what it takes to sort through some of those things. When I was in my youth, I had, I think it was about 2 close friends. All the rest of them were 40-year-olds. And I actually enjoyed my friends very much. They were very stabilizing for me. So anyway, I guess I just want to encourage you young people. We, us older ones, you know, we've been through those things that you're going through. Such is our lot in the humankind race. We've been youth at one time too. And God can help you sort through some of that if you just open your heart and take some of these principles I'm talking about this morning, just apply them. One thing that you young people have that I did not have is a fellowship in a church like this. We had about 3 or 4 families, and there was a lack of vision in all that home churching situation. I won't get into that. It's one thing to have church at home, but if you have to have a home church because issues bring you together, I guarantee the issues will probably push you apart too. There's something so beautiful about church that we have here today. And I just want to encourage you, you have so much. Lay a hold of some fellowship and some companionship, because there's plenty of it here. And just open up your heart and get some help if you need that. In my time of youth, I was telling a brother this past week, we had situations there. We had a farm. We were dairy farmers. And as we were growing up, and at one point when I was about 15 years old, we got a hold of the Godly Home tapes. And that was the first set Denny put out. This is going back into 92 and 94. And that's when we got a hold of those and we listened to those tapes. And God began to work in my heart, in my heart of my family. And a whole different course of direction began to take place. In the middle of that, we decided to move. I was around 16, 17, 18 years old. And we wanted to move because we didn't have fellowship where we were at. And I, as a family, we had to go through about 4 years or 5 years of wanting to move and find fellowship and not having any. And I can remember so clearly the struggles my parents went through and all that, and the things that I faced, not having friends, as it were. But we had a few families we fellowshipped with. And we had to sort through some of these things. And ever after that, I've always decided if I ever move somewhere, I'm going to put my family in a place where we're sort of right in the middle of it. I, as a dad, took a stand, and that's the stand I took because I look back and I know what it's like to be all on your own. and to not have any encouragement and input, and to have battles to face and no one to share it with. And I've made the choices I have for very specific reasons. And I appreciate the opportunity that we have. And young people, if you think your burden is heavy and the care is hard, I'm encouraging you, there's a lot of fellowship you can have right here in this setting. Lay a hold of it. Tell the devil to go where he's got to get to. And lay a hold of some good fellowship in the mercy of God. And lay a hold. Grab for what you can do. Don't give in to rebellious attitudes and wrong concepts and struggling with your parents and struggling with life. And there's a way where you can find in humility and openness and relationship and fellowship where you can find help in your situation. I don't know where you find yourself at. My heart this morning is to just to do what I can to encourage you young people to lay a hold. Get a vision for the things of God. When you hear the messages, make those choices. Don't take that rebellious, arrogant, indifferent attitude. Just take that place of humility and just open yourself to God and open yourself to brothers and sisters. And if you're in a difficult place, I'm going to encourage you, go to the one that's twice as old as you are. Don't go to the teens with some of those nature of questions. Go to your parents if you can. If you find it difficult, ask them if you can open up to a brother or so or sister, someone who can help you. You don't want to do like Rehoboam did, and listen to the counsel of the older ones, and then go and get counsel from the young ones, and then take the counsel that was the worst. You don't want to do that. Good counsel and embracing good truth establishes who you are in God. It's foundationally good for you. And, you know, when you get 45 like I am, I'm still shooting high and looking to older ones to talk to. Because sometimes I've got questions that a 15-year-old can't help. But I have a God and I have a brotherhood that cares. And I do have a precious privilege. I want to encourage you young people, lay a hold of these things. Open yourself to God. You won't regret it. Even though it might look like you're laying everything down who you are, that's okay. Jesus did the same thing. And I don't think Jesus lost. He won the battle. So may the Lord bless you all. If you have more questions for me, you can come talk sometime. But time is too short to say a whole lot more. But this place of humility and brokenness, this place of honor and respect, it's a wonderful place to be. When you go to bed at night, I'm just saying there's a lot more peace to be found with that spirit reigning in your heart than there is when you take the other road. And God will come and he'll minister to you. He will. He cares about you. And the Lord bless.